to be on that. I'll make it so. Okay, today we're moving on to Lamed Zayin. We've gotten up to Lamed Vav on the base, I think, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Three lines from the bottom. Gufa. Rav Shmuel Damit Avayu. Kol sheyesh bo mechameshet haminim mevorchim alav borei minim zonot. We started the sugi yesterday about what we do with, we were talking about something which was like a granola bar and so on, where you mix things with corn syrup and you have flour and oatmeal and so on in it. So we said yesterday that if you have a significant ingredient of chameshet haminim, that subsumes everything else, is considered to be the ikar, even though it may not be the most prevalent ingredient. So let's take a look more at that today. Goof. Rav Shmuel, we quoted yesterday, is saying, Kol sheyesh bo mechameshet haminim mevorchim alav borei minim zonot. V'yitmanah, now we have a variant of this, in which Rav Shmuel said, Kol shehu mechameshet haminim mevorchim alav borei minim zonot. Which, I mean, it seems at a level to be contradictory. And obviously, if something even has ingredients of chameshet haminim, if you say mizonot, and koshken, if it is mechameshet haminim, without being mixed with anything else, it would be borei minim mizonot. And so the Gemara is wondering why we have both of these lashonot. And says, v'tzrich, actually we need both, because iash min koshu, had we only been told the what is koshu hu mechameshet haminim, sa'ava mina mishum de'ite be'inei, obviously, I would have come to the conclusion that it's a reference to where that is the ingredient, not where it's mixed with other things and only is a significant ingredient. So therefore, I must know also, I would have thought if it's not the ingredient, then not. So I must know the other one. Whatever has chamesh naminim. But on the other hand, suppose you would have said what appears to us to be enough, namely, there is an implication which would have been misleading. Why? Because I would have said like this. The statement is mashma that it's limiting the bracha borei minim zonot to chamesh taminim. But if it's something else, for instance, let's say it's made out of rice. Rice is not from the chamesh taminim. Therefore, we would say that there is no birkat mizonot on it, right? But since the case where we said this and its implication that there would be no bracha on rice of borei minim mizonot is dafka in a case for koshi yesh bo, meaning where there is a lot of other ingredients, and this is an important ingredient. Sure. We said, okay, rice in that case is excluded. One.
Should we know what amount? Only chamesh haminim?
No, it says anything that is made of chamesh haminim, we would say in English. Here's the two statements. Anything that contains chamesh haminim, A. Anything that is made of chamesh haminim, B. Right. So you would have thought if it says A, there's no point in mentioning B. However, there is a point because of the implication. Suppose it had only said anything which contains chamesh haminim, you say borei minim is a note. Implication is, if it's not chamesh haminim, you don't say borei minim is a note. But where we're talking about containing. But if it's of, so something is made of rice, then maybe you do say borei minim is a note. So I need to have the other case to tell me, and the same thing would be true if it's made entirely of. So it's even where it's made entirely of rice, I still don't make borei minim mizonot. So therefore, one is for its implication, and one is for its content. So therefore, let's see that inside. Yesh min koshi yesh bo, hava min koshi yesh bo chamesh taminim in aval. Now the implications are that if it's something else, such as orez v'docha, now lemaisa, in the way the halacha has ended up, not according to Rashi, is that orez is in fact rice, as Tosas brings here, and dochan is what we call in English millet. Here it's actually marketed as dochan. And these both are excluded. Rashi does not have rice as being one of these things, and rather has orez. He thinks that orez is what we call millet, And Dochat is a subspecies of Aurum, of what we call Dochat. And Orez wasn't in the running, according to Rashi. However, most learn, as I said, the way Tosfos does, and that's the way we paskin halacha-wise, that whatever we're going to discuss here is about rice. Dochan is a question, bichlal, whether it should be mentioned in the sugya. There are girsaot that don't include Dochan at all, and it's been dragged in here because in other areas it's put together. And we'll talk about that when we get to the halachic implications of what the whole meaning over here is, why is Ores similar to Chamesh Daminim and so on. But as we know, and we're going to see later on, as we know, there's the famous Shita that you can eat matzah made out of Dochan, out of Ores. So, in other words, that it's mamish considered to be a mindagan, that you'd be chayav kores for eating rice that had risen. Okay, all of that we're going to discuss in Tzachim, but we'll see it here again in terms of brachas. So the implications, therefore, I would have thought was dafka mishum daidei tarovet. The only reason I'm not making a birkat mizonot on it is because it's mixed with other things. How, what about if it's an actual rice cake? I would have thought that I should make borei mine mizonot even on that. Therefore, it comes along to tell me, even when it's not mixed with anything else. La fuke oriz v'dochan, da filu ite beine, even where you have a pure rice cake, loma varchinan borei mine mizonot. Is that really true? Oriz v'dochan, loma varchinan borei mine mizonot. Vatanya heviu lefanav pat oriz, upat dochan, mevorek alav techila besof kimase kideira. Now, Maase Kedera means things that you were from the Chamesh Daminim that you cooked up like a kugel or like a cereal or something that's cooked in a pot instead of baked in an oven. Spaghetti. I mean, so all of those things are obviously Borei Minei Mizonot. If you're telling me now that I'm supposed to eat pot ores, now, albeit I haven't boiled, let's say, this ores, you're telling me I made it in the tzur of a pot, okay. So it's telling me I'm supposed to treat it the way I would treat real grain that was boiled, but that's still Borei Minei Mizonot. You're claiming I don't even say Borei Minei Mizonot? It says, Beferush Gabi Maasek Deira Tanya, Bitchila Mevarek Olav Borei Minei Mizonot, Ulebesof Mevarek Olav Baracha Achat Be'en Shalosh. So here you're telling me that rice does require a Borei Minei Mizonot when it's on its own. And you're learning that the whole reason that we said Rav and Shmuel's statement that separately about rice, I mean about the Chamesh Daminim that are not mixed with other ingredients, is bedafka to let me know not to make a Borei Minei Mizonot on the rice, which means that the Braita seems to be a Tiyufta on Rav and Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, well now wait a minute, it says, Mevarech Alav Techila V'Sof, like Maase Keder, now like means in certain ways similar to. But that means it's similar to it, but it's not precisely the same. I mean, it's not Kimaase Kedera in every way, so it's Kimaase Kedera. But look, Maase Kedera, it's Kimaase Kedera in some sense, namely, Dimivorchim Alav Tchilav Esof. At least we make our bracha on it, and we make a bracha, an opening bracha and a closing bracha. That, yes. But it's not like Maase Kedera completely, Veloka Maase Kedera, because Bilu Maase Kedera, if it were actually cereal, let's say, we would say two brachot, but what would those brachot be? Borei Minei Mizonot, and Ulo Besof, we would say Bracha Achat Mein Shalosh, which is our Alamechia. Whereas Ilo Hacha, although we're making a bracha Tchilo Besof, it's not that bracha. It's Shakoni Ebid Varo and Borena Vajod Rabot Vechesonana Komashabara. It's a rather stretched explanation. And we're going to question it further. Once again, you're saying, Orez Lav Maase Kedera. So what do you do with the following, Vatanya? Elohim Maase Kedera, all of the following types of cereal would be considered, these are cooked cereals, and they would be chilga, tirgas, the solet, money take out. Because it doesn't really belong here. We're we're talking about here a list of wheat cereal that is made out of finer and finer degrees of wheat. So the chilka is wheat in which basically each grain is cut into two. Tragis, as its name implies, is cut into three.
Yeah. You know, the way you're saying now, I mean, why is it like lactamasu there? I mean, drinking water, you do the same thing?
No, we don't think that at this point. We do that, but not everybody. We'll see later on in the Gemara that we're assuming here that we don't make a bracha for drinking water, tefillah v'sof. So, but that we'll get to. Our son, and that's, we're going to now put it into five pieces. Each level over here is a piece of grain finer and finer into cereal. And the thing is, it throws in orez. Now, throwing in orez into a list of wheat cereals doesn't make sense if you don't make a borei minei mizonot, because maaseh kedera by definition, we just said, was borei minei mizonot. So something is wrong with this. Answers the Gemara, there's nothing wrong with it. It represents the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We know about that sheet. The Tzadi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. Orez min daganu, v'chayavim al-chimutso karet, v'adam yotzei bo chavato bepesach. Now that's a dat yachid. Thank you. That's a dat yachid. He holds, forget about not eating kidneys. I mean, he holds orez, you can be yotzei of matzah. So that's the other extreme. Of course, on the other hand, if it turns into chametz, because according to the turn into chametz, you'd be chay of koras. According to Rabbanan, it's not a grain at all, and therefore there's no issue of either an iser karet, or of course it would be a joke to try to be yotzei yachiv of matzah using rice cakes. So this would make perfectly good sense according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri if you're making a rice cereal or rice pudding. So of course you would be making borei minei mizonot. So it lists rice here according to him, together with your wheaties or your witina. I mean, it's all the same thing according to him. We're talking about according to the Rabbanan, and according to the Rabbanan, we would not make a mizonot on rice. At least that's now the current assertion of the Diak and Rav and Shmuel and the way that they're learning the Braita. Now, all right, let's attack that. You're saying according to Rabbanan, not Rabbanan lo? Well, what about this? Ratanya. Hakoses et achita. The word hakoses, to be koses something, means to eat it in a cheap way, not the normal mode of achila. You pick a piece of wheat and you chew it as you go. It's not the kind of thing that you sit down to a table to have a cup of fresh wheat.
It's raw.
Yeah, it's raw. So, well, I mean, it doesn't mean everything koses is raw, but it's eating things in a way before they're fully prepared. So it's not normal achila. We call it kisisa. So koses et achita, you're chewing gum. You're chewing your chita like chewing gum over here. So mevorech oleha borei pri ha'adama. So at that stage, it's just basically like a vegetable. If you go ahead and you grind it up and you bake it, or after you bake it, you boil it. Ubishla. Now what happens? So bisman shaprusot kayamot. If it still is what it was. Now Rashi throughout the sugya understands that the sugya is going to be talking about what we would call a chala kugel, in which you take the challah that's already been baked, you boil it up, mix it with your other ingredients, and then you may bake it again. The idea over here is that after you boil it, you now are morid the level of the pot in it. Nonetheless, if the prusota kayamot, you still see the pieces of bread, they haven't just melted into the mix, then you still say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and at the end you say your full birkat hamazon shalosh brachot. Im ein prusot kayamot, on the other hand, if you don't have now any shape of it, we're going to see what exactly is the extent of prusot kayamot later. So b'tchila mevorech ala borei minei mizonot. So at that point it becomes like a cereal, like a kugel, like a pasta. So you would make a borei minei mizonot, and then you would say bracha achat be'en shalosh. Now so far, this has nothing to do with what We've been talking about the next piece that's critical. Here it is, akosesata orez. Somebody takes now some orez that's raw, or even if it isn't raw, it's been boiled. I mean, it's just so, he still says, obore pri ha'adama. But if tachano afa'o bishlo, how about if you made bread out of orez, and now you cook it up? There afa pisha prusot kayamot, even though you still see the tzura of the bread, b'tchila mevarech alav borei minei mizonot, ulebesof mevarech alav bracha achat mein shalosh. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to tell me, well, okay, maybe this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri again, who holds that orez is bread. But according to the Rabbanan, of course, this is laughable. We would never make a borei minei mizonot on rice. That's what you're going to try to tell me. Let's think this out. Money. Who do you think is the author of this brayta? Is it Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Yoma Orez min Daganhu? So how do you get, if the Prusota Kayamot now, how do you get that you only make a Borei Minei Mizonot? So according to him, you should again be saying a full Motzi Lachem min Haaretz, because I have the Prusot Kayamot, and I should say Shalosh Brachot afterwards. So apparently this is going even according to the Rabbanan, and what it's saying is that rice is never going to be, even if Prusot HaKayamot, it's never going to be a borei, a Lebotzi Lechem in Haaretz, it's going to be a borei Minei Mizonot. But it will be a borei Minei Mizonot. That's the thing. So if that's the case, according to the Rabbanan, you're also going to say on rice, now this is going to be very difficult for Rav and Shmuel to get out of, and in fact, to Yufta, the Rav and Shmuel to Yufta, this is a checkmate of that sheet. It appears that even the Rabbanan are made that there certainly are cases where rice is not an ingredient, but it is the ingredient, at least that case, you would say a borei minei mizonot. Now, the extent, by the way, of the difference between koseis on the one hand, which is an extreme, where it's raw, there's been no processing, and the level of processing that is mechayev, the borei minei mizonot, which over here is like all the way, grinding it up and baking it and so on, there are many Rishonim who speak out that that's only because that's the context of the braita. However, boiling to the extent that the rice sticks now, one piece sticks to the next piece, same thing would be true about the chita. At that point, even though it's raw, perhaps, it's still considered to be a tapshil, a maisa kedera. Others learn, and this is a significant chumra in terms of the din of the bracha, is that as soon as you remove the husk and the upper level of the membrane around the grain, which we do, let's say we have pearl barley. From pearl barley, it's been basically rolled to such an extent that you've rubbed off much of the upper level of the grain. That's already considered to be, according to many shitas, a maisa mizonot minei odei. Forget about what the thing looks like when you cook it up. And according to that, it would be true about rice as well. Which means that basically the only time you would be making a borei pri ha'adama on rice is one of these health rices or whole rice or brown rice that's been, you know, not processed, macrobiotic kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We're over there, even though you cooked it up, it's still going to be a non-maisa kedera rice. You know, in practical terms, we don't really come in contact with grains that are not processed grains.
You know, I've come with rice noodles. You know, they make
Rice noodles is the mamish this Gemara.
Yeah,
where there they actually ground it up and they made it into a thing. That's for sure mizonot according to this, even according to the Rabbanan. Oh,
although afterwards we say Ron Brothers.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet. At this point, it looks like on our rice, not only are we saying Borei Minei Mizonot up front, but we're also saying Bracha Achat Mi'en Shalosh in the end. So we still have some work to do on this, because that's not the halacha. Omama, HaKoseis Et Achita Mivarech Alei Borei Pri Ha'adama. Now, there's another braita that says that if somebody chews on a raw chita, he makes an interesting bracha, which we never heard of, Borei Minei Zraim, because you're eating seeds after all, and naturally that's not a problem. Lo kasha, we already have met the shita in the Mishnah that distinguishes between leafy vegetables and non-leafy vegetables. So the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is that we need to make on every different type of thing a different type of bracha. We need to zero in on the different element in defining a bracha. So in the same way that he said there's a bracha borei minei disha'im on the leafy vegetables, he would agree that there's a bracha of borei minei zra'im on pure seeds. So it makes perfectly good sense if it's Rabbi Yehuda. Har Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan, it's not. Ala yirakot, in our Mishnah we learned, ala yirakot omer borei pri ha'adama, and Rabbi Yehuda omer borei minei disha'im. So if that's the case, there's no reason why we should be less makpid in defining the brach of zra'im as zra'im than defining the leaves as disha'im. It's an interesting question as to what to do after you are kosei sechita. What brach do you make after being kosei sechita? We're saying it doesn't get a din. I mean, it's the chamesh minei dagan. Are you just going to say borei nefashot? Having eaten dagan. On the other hand, if you make an alamichya, which alamichya are you going to say? Because it's not nizonot yet, right? So you can't call it really the sense of michya kalkala, because that's what it isn't. It's only a priya adama. It's not a priya eight. So the Rabbeinu Tam actually used to say al perota adama. Does he say ala eitz val priya eitz? It's ala adama val priya adama. But in later years, he changed his mind and said, it's weird that we never heard of this. It doesn't say anything like that. I'm making a comparison, but who's to say that such a thing exists before? You know, it's actually in the Yerushalmi that does the springs over here. They raise the question and they don't have a solution. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, from the day I find out there's no solution, I stop doing that. I don't know what broth going to make afterwards. Those who suggest Sylvia, you're going to have to make sure to make hamotzi beforehand, to make sure that you were going to be now yotze with your birkat hamazon to potter whatever it is that you're eating. Because otherwise, what will you say afterwards? Because these are interesting questions, again, to be gotten. I think we should have maybe even tomorrow, if anybody has time, or if you're willing to spend a little bit of extra time afterwards, to do a special grain day, which we could talk about some of the halachas of the hamotzi and the borei minei mizonot and kufis. So that would be nice, as long as it doesn't get in the way of our chazor. People willing to spend a little bit extra time after that? What do you say? Yeah? I can see that enthusiasm all around. It's very obvious. Yes, indeed. There we go.
Do you want the internet or what?
Oh, the internet has now become a substitute for the real thing. Oh, wait a minute.
What are you doing?
It must be a burden of bushes. I mean, how could we make up our own brocho?
Bring samples of all the different items.
There you go. For that, we should wait until we get to the style of Zeya the Alma, such as Scotch. So let's get back to this now. You said if you take orez, you eat it raw, you say a borei pri adama. On the other hand, if you grind it up, bake it, and so on, even though you boil it afterwards, you say a borei minei mizonot, and at the end you say a bracha achat mi'ein shalosh. Now, the problem is there's another brayta that says you do not say a bracha at the end. The besof velo klum, right away. When it says velo klum, it doesn't mean velo klum. It means velo klum in terms of mentioning Eretz Yisrael. Both Birkat Hamazon and very clearly the Ala Michya is all involved in Eretz Yisrael. And that's how it relates specifically to Perot Eretz Yisrael. When you have things that are not the Perot Eretz Yisrael, we call it below klum in terms of the idea of achal tovisavato verachta as Hashem lokechal al haaretz hatova. The bracha that we make relates to the aretz hatova. The fact that we have other brachot before and we have brachot after that don't relate to Eretz Yisrael is not. We call that below klum. So it means you'd make, in other words, a Bereina Fashot, let's say, but it doesn't mean you don't make any bracha. But in any event, certainly it's not a bracha chat mein shalosh. How do you explain that? Says Rav Sheshes, well, couldn't we go back to saying that that this is the machlokas of Rav Gamliel and the Rabbona? The Tanya, Zeaklal, Kosher Mishivat Haminim. Rav Gamliel holds in general anything from the Shivat Haminim requires a full Birkat HaMazon afterwards. You say shalosh brachot. Which, of course, is a little problematic, as Tosis points out, because...
Look at the text of the other prayer.
Because what happens is that Rabbi Gamliel also holds that you have to have a kosher bracha. Okay, now the problem is, as soon as you drink your kosher bracha, since it's Mishivat HaMinim, you now have to say Birkat HaMazon. Of course, that Birkat HaMazon will require a kosher bracha, which means that the first time you eat, you never stop, according to Rabbi Gamliel. So, what are you supposed to do? Exactly. So he says, look, it must mean that, you know, when you're, the only time that he's mechayev you in Birkat HaMazon is where you have a su'uda that's based on the yayin, meaning the equivalent of a su'uda, kviut. Not where you're just drinking wine in order that should be molei lugma for kosher bracha. There he has also moda that you'd only say a bracha chat mein shalosh, or at least that you wouldn't be chayev in zimun. In any event, so getting back to it, so according to Rabbi Gamliel, you're always going to be making shalosh brachot, and according to the Chachamim, you would be making what we call the alamechia, the bracha chat mein shalosh, which is really very misleading to call it Al HaMichya, because when it's not Mizonot, you don't say Al HaMichya. And it's probably much more correct to use the word that the Gemara and Halacha uses, Bracha Achad Mi'en Shalosh. U'ma'aseh b'Rav Gamliel v'Zakenim sh'ayu m'subim b'Aliyah b'Yericho. And, you know, it's interesting, we have so many of these Rav Gamliel stories of, you know, him getting into arguments and holding different than anybody else. Today's daf of the Yerushalmi is also going to revolve around this. We started the Masechta with Rabbi Gamliel. And nu l'maisa, do we follow you or do we follow the Rabbanan? Are you disagreeing with the Rabbanan? And we went into all those various Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel being different than anything. I'm different. For everything, he's different. So here we go again, Rabbi Gamliel. He held that you're supposed to say Birkat HaMazon. And they brought now dates in front of the tzibur of the Chachamim, and Rabbi Gamliel gave reshus to Rabbi Akiva to what he thought would be bench. I mean, because I mean, he certainly didn't think Rabbi Akiva would have the chutzpah right in front of him to not say Birkat HaMazon on a date the way you're supposed to. Kofatz Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva jumps right in there, doesn't ask any questions, and he gives his bracha chat mein shalosh. Ala eitz val priya eitz. No zimun, no nothing. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, boy, this did not sit well with Rabbi Gamliel. Akiva, ad matay ata machnis roshcha ben amachloket. You're told that why you're sticking your head over here into our arguments. Amalei Rabbeinu, hafa pisha ata omer kein, v'chavirecha omrim kein, limadetenu Rabbeinu, yachid v'rabim alachak rabim. I'm only following your instructions. After all, you taught us to go according to the majority. The majority is not like you. So therefore, I'm following you and following the majority. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Koshuhu Mishivat HaMinim, Velo Mindagan. If it's a Mindagan, then you have a problem of what happens if you turn it into bread, and then you'd have to make, of course, Birkat HaMazon. Or, even if it's a Mindagan, you didn't turn it into bread, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shalosh Brachot, V'Chachamim Omrim Brachachat. So there, Rabbi Gamliel says, any of the Shivas Haminim and anything even which is a Mindagan that isn't bread, you would still need Shalosh Brachot, whereas no, the Chacham say, no, in that case, if it isn't bread, you'd only make Brachachat. And Koshe Eino Lo Mishivat Haminim, V'Lo Mindagan, Kegon Pat Orez, V'Dochan, there, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Brachachat Mi'en Shalosh, the Chachamim Omrim, V'lo Klum. It's So there you go. Rabbi Gamliel Shitato holds that in the same way that he's machmer on the Shivat Aminim to require Birkat Hamazon, so too is he machmer on Orez to require the so-called Ala Michya. But according to the Chachamim, who don't say that you need Birkat Hamazon on Shivat Aminim, they would agree that you only say a Barei Nefeshot after Orez. So that explains the contradiction, says Rav Sheshes. On the one hand, it says, B'l'besof v'lo klum, that's the Chachamim, they all the only say Barei Nefeshot. On the other hand, it said, Acharav Nevarech, the Bracha Achat Mehen Shalosh, that's Rabban Gamliel. So therefore, there's no problem with this being a stira. Says the Gemara, well, that would be very nice if we could just isolate that particular issue. That would be a good approach. The problem is that there's another contradiction if you want to learn that way. Because B'mayu Kinta, how are you now understanding it? That in that original brighter that we brought, when it says that you make a brocha achat mi'en shalosh afterwards, it's going according to Rabbi Gamliel. That's what you're claiming. The problem is, look back over there again, carefully. What was the last part of the opening of that brighter? Remember? It said, im ein haprusot kayamot. What do you do when you're making you're putting that bread into a boiling pot, you let it cook in the water, and it said over there, well, if you can't see the pieces of bread anymore, at that point, you make a borei min hamazonot, and b'sof, you're mevarech bracha achat mi'en shalosh. Now, you're going to try to tell me that's wrong, Gamliel? Because it's all part of the same bracha, okay? You're claiming that that bracha that says that on rice, you're supposed to say in Ala Michya is Rabban Gamliel. The problem is that the first part can't possibly be Rabban Gamliel. Because if you're going to tell me that Rabban Gamliel, hashta kotavot vadaisa, I mean, even if you've got a date, or you've got some cereal, some wheatina, according to Rabban Gamliel, you're going to be making a Birkat Hamazon after it. So you're telling me if you took real bread and you put it into a pot and boiled it, now it's going to be less than a date? And for some reason it will go down to Ala Michya over there? It's less than making wheatina? Where the wheatina was never pot. I mean, over here at least it had the chashivut of pot initially. So saying, okay, it lost its special chashivut of pot by losing the tzura of the lechem. Okay, fine, so now it's cereal. No? Let's say it's even all the way down to being just cereal. No. So what? But I thought, according to Rabbi Gamliel, cereal requires a Birkat Hamazon. So this can't be Rabbi Gamliel. Now we're going to have to say that it's the Rabbanan. If it's the Rabbanan, so the Riachi, Kasha the Rabbanan, are the Rabbanan? On the one hand, it said, you make a bracha achat mi'en shalosh. And on the other hand, it said, v'acharav b'lo klum. And we do not know of a third shita that would account for this. As you might, you know, there's no choice but to change the gears. I mean, otherwise, we can't make up another shita. Li'olam Rabbanan, utni gabi orez, ulubisof einam avarech alav v'lo klum. Because, I mean, we had mixed a lot of things together over there. So, take the orez out and say, in terms of orez, enokinami, you only make a borei nefeshot afterwards. Omar Rabba, hay riatat chakloi. This riatat chakloi we spoke about before, we called chavitz kedera, which is where we mix things with corn oil or with the honey and so on. It's essentially a sugared bar that we create that has in it grain, oatmeal, with the oatmeal bars.
Power
bars. Yeah, those kind of things. So, it depends, said Rava, how they're made. The chakloi, when they do it on the farm, they don't go in for the heavily sugared stuff on the farm. You know, they go in for hearty those bars? You know, when you have granola. Hearty kind of granola bars, which has a lot of kemach in it. And they make a borei min hamazonot. Why? My time, the samida ikar, there the grain content, the flour content, is the ikar of the bar. But, you know, in Mechuza, I mean, that was the equivalent of RLA. I mean, these guys that live in the big cities, all they think about is their sweet tooth. You know, so they're lo mafshi be kibcha. There they mix mostly the sugars and the corn syrup. Then mevarech alav shakol niyabit varo. My time a duf shayikar. The honey is the main thing for them. But then Rava realized he had made a mistake, because that was based on the normal understanding of ikar v'tafel, which would require the amount of ingredients. So therefore, he was saying, look, since if you take a look on the ingredients, the first ingredient is corn syrup. Of course, they never do it that way. They mix different things that are all basically different sugars. But that way, no sugars up front. Because, you know, I mean, you got corn syrup is one thing, sugar is another thing, honey is another thing. So they're the second, third, or fourth ingredient. And then, yeah, fructose, that's right. So basically, you don't realize you're eating 90% sugar, you know. But Lamaisa, I mean, if according to Rava, initially Rava thought, well, if it's the second ingredient, then it can't be the ikar. But he realized that was a mistake, because Hadaram Rava Idividi Boremi name is Onot. I mean, remember, the only time we came out before, after seeing yesterday, Rabin Shul's halacha, that kol, damer, Rabin Shul, damer, tavar, kol, sheyesh bo, mi chamesh taminim. There is a unique significance to the grains of the Chamesh Taminim, in which, despite their being perhaps in terms of volume or weight not the primary ingredient, they still cast their taste over the entire bar or whatever it is that you're eating. It's always going to be a Borei Minei Mizonot unless the only function is as a binder. But certainly these bars, they're not just binders for the honey. Therefore, I was wrong, says Rava. You'd have to make a mizonot on any kind of a granola bar. Omri of Yosef, hai chavitza, eat beit pirurin. So now here is where we get into our big our big problem, because there's two ways of learning the chavitza. Rashi actually learns the chavitza is the same issue that we had before, which is basically the chalakugel, what we call the chalakugel, where you're boiling up something in a kadeira. A bread pudding kind of thing, yeah. Except that the bread puddings are not necessarily cooked. What you could do with a bread pudding, and actually that's how Tosus learns, is that we're talking about a pudding, because he says, I mean, what does that have to do with pirurim? Here it says, ispei pirurim kizayit. I mean, that's not the point. We said before, and nobody argued with it there, if this is the same thing as the sugya before, how come we don't say what we said before? That if it has prusot, didn't say anything about kizayit, pirurim, it talked about prusot, if the pieces of bread are recognizable. Therefore, says Tosus, we seem to be introducing something entirely different over here. And I think that what we're talking about over here is where you use, let's say, milk or, you know, other things. You soak the bread in it, and it expands and ends up making a pudding. But it doesn't have to be boiled. So the boiling itself will take away, without anything else, will take away the tzura pot. That's a different thing. There you need to soak kayamot. Well, you didn't boil it, however. So according to Rashi, you didn't boil it. It's bread. What's there to discuss? According to Tosafot, you didn't boil it, but soaked it in something else. It takes on a different surah that is going to affect the brocha, as the Gemara is about to explain. So how does it affect the brocha? If you have pieces of it that are the shear of a kizayit, then indeed it remains bread. Now, according to Rashi, it does not remain bread, because he said, because it's talking about boiling. If it would be that the case before, right? And we're going to have to say, Tosafot says, Aliba the Rashi, we're going to have to understand that Rabbi Yosef is explaining what prusot means. That's what a prusa means. A prusa means, according to Rabbi Yosef, prusa bekezayit. A piece that's the size of a kezayit is a prusa, by definition. Okay? According to Rashi, it doesn't matter whether it has, assuming that it's talking about a pudding that isn't cooked, so then it doesn't matter. It's always going to be bread. But according to Tosafot, if it becomes a pudding, then it's not necessarily always bread. If it has a shear of a kizayit and a piece, one piece in the pudding is a kizayit, so then in a finami, it's bread. You say, I'm motzi lachem in haaretz, you say Mevarech Mitzov, Mevarech Alav Shalosh Brachot, you say Birkat HaMazon, and so on. However, if you don't have pieces that are the size of a gezayit, then it's basically the same thing as a cereal. And Betchila Mevarech Alav Borei Menei Mizonot, Ulu Besov Bracha Achat Mein Shalosh. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yosef. I'll prove it to you from the dinim of Minachot. Now, again, the dinim of Minachot, I mean, this doesn't seem to be, we don't boil the Minachot. Well, what exactly does Tosha says? What are we, how, according to Rashi, are we comparing it to Minachot? So we could learn that since the Minachot now are going to be mixed with oil, so you're, so that tigun itself maybe, I don't know, it's the same thing as the pudding kind of thing, perhaps, because of the oil. But in any event, it says over there, so somebody's about to bring a korban mincha, he says, Baruch shechayanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Now Rashi learns that this is referring to the person, the Yisrael, who's bringing the mincha, which Tosu says, that's crazy. I mean, we never say, Haya omeru makriv. Omeru makriv is always a lashon that you say about a kohen. How can you say omeru makriv on the violin? So Tosu learns that it's talking about the kohen. Indeed, Rashi elsewhere is talking about a kohen who comes in for the first time to bring a carbon. So this is his first time that he's bringing a carbon mincha. He says a shechiyanu. Tosu says, no. Why does that have to be the first time? Since there were 24 Mishmarot, turns out you only get a chance to be in there two weeks out of the year. I mean, so, you know, you've got a long period in between. We know that when usually 30 days pass, I mean, but certainly when you have a moed, this is the equivalent of a moed. It's a specific time, you know that in this week of the year you're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, it's like saying a Shechiyanu on your Yom Tov. You're waiting for this Yom Tov. So it means every time that you're back in your Mishmar and you're about to bring your first carbon in that Mishmar, according to Tosfos, you would make a Shechiyanu.
According to Rashi, it's the Yisrael who brings it, who makes the Shechiyanu, yeah. Not the Kohen.
Mm-hmm. Natlan lochlan. Now you're about to eat it. You say, Amotzi lachem in aretz. Now, explain to me, says Rabbi Yosef, what it's like when you're eating it. V'tani Allah, v'kulan potetan kezai. Now, you know, if you have a mincha that you've baked, you have a ma'afe tanur, or some other type of mincha, pancake type of mincha, which is in a machavat, or now that's mitugan. You cannot do kmitza on the whole mincha. You have to first break it up into pieces. So if you take out the kmitza, put the kmitza on. What is the size of the pieces that you break it up into? The Braisa says the size is a kezayit, which means that the only makor that we have for saying hamotzi lechem in haaretz is on pieces of a mincha that are a kezayit, and now even though they have been mixed with oil and so on, they're still hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Amalei Abaye, so Reb Yosef, says Abaye to him, Reb Yosef, according to you, Meata Latana de Vere Yishmol, the Omar Porchana Shabakzana Sultan. I mean, not everybody agrees that petita, which is part of the important things that you do for the mincha, breaking up the baked mincha into its.
Not everybody agrees that when you break up the baked mincha into
its.
He's probably just speaking to
Luke.
Maybe we should sit him in the
chair. Not bad. So. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the Shita is that you grind it up, really. You rub it down until it goes back into solid. That's how much you... Because you're going to have to put your hand in it. And you have to crumble it back into... So that it's fine, like it was solid. You're telling me that, according to him, you don't say how much you like him in art. That's what you're saying. So, hachinami, the low boy, brook, how much you like him in art. Okay, so you'll say, yeah, maybe... Maybe that's true. If you try to tell me maybe that's true, now I back you into a corner. Because it says, Beferush in the Braita, Lakat mikulam kezayit. What do you mean, Lakat mikulam kezayit? continuing now, discussing the menachot. If you're telling me lakat mikulam kezayit, obviously means the pieces are not a kezayit. So it's got to be going according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds you break it up into smaller than kezayit pieces. Says if you get a kezayit altogether, and now you eat it, so if it's chometz, you're going to be chayav koreit. And if it's matzah, adam yotzei yedei chovato b'pesach. Now how can it be yotzei yedei chovato b'pesach on something that is bechalal not considered to be a pot? It's not considered to be lechem. How can it be lechem only? According to you, it's not lechem. Well, says Rabbi Yosef, that's a good point, but you know what? That's talking about that you mixed it again and you turned it back into a dough. That's like the same lashon we have for challah. Reshit arisotechem. Arsan is the way, is the dough. That means you re-doughed it. So exactly. Same kind of thing that we do with matzah mill. I mean, except that, you know, that there it was only baked. It wasn't, you know, metugan or any of the other things. But yeah.
Until now, was mincha was unbaked?
No, it was baked. We're talking about ma'afei tanur, we're talking about, or it was pancaked. We don't have to be potate mincha soles, because it was soles and remains soles. But all of the other type of menachot that are baked or that are betugan, either in a machabat or a marcheshet, which we now need to do petitan in order to be mekayim kmitza.
They're not supposed to be chametz.
That's a problem. Yeah. Tosfos has a big problem, Bichlal, with the way Rashi learns this sugya, because how could it be a mincha can't be chametz? Therefore, he doesn't learn that this is referring back to the menachot. But let's stick to the simplest
thing.
No, that's a question of Lagabi Shabbos.
Right.
Nothing to do with our sugya right now. No.
There is?
I don't know what is means. Is Lagabi what? What does is mean? Can you do such a thing? Yeah, you could do such a thing. Why would this have some impact on Shabbos?
Well, because it seems to be saying that there is Bishul. They're talking about changing the whole thing after this whole thing. So
there's never a question as to whether one can be Mabashal after Afiyah. I think that anybody who tried it finds that it's possible to do, and nothing happens to you when you try to do it, or there's no energy type of issue in which the thing doesn't happen. The question is whether halachically it's considered to be a separate Bishul, which may not have anything to do with our dinam of pot, but we'll see later on that we'll get into the details of especially when it comes to bagels. That's where we have that problem. Whether you can re-pot bagels. What broth do you make on a bagel? So on a real bagel, a boiled bagel. Now those are things that we're going to get into.
Sure.
So here it's talking about you made it back into a dough and then you bake them. And therefore you make hamotzi on it. According to Rashi, you eat it however you want. Rashi is learning this as a reference to the menachot, which is problematic stam. But why not?
Cook it again.
You have a right to kedarach mishicha, the mashcha, it says. Kedarach hashibut. Says the Gemara, how can you say it's talking about kishirsa? It says, husha achlan b'ktei achilat pras. You read, it says achlan. Achlan is lashon rabim. Where's the then? Which then? According to you, you rebaked it. There's no more then. There's it. It should say you ate it. But saying you ate then, it's not talking about Bashir's son. It's talking about exactly what it says. You're malakate, the pieces, you put them together, you now have a kezayit, which you didn't have before, and you eat this kezayit that you gathered together because they actually have pras. Now how are you going to try to stick in here that you turned it into one piece? Well, clearly we keep referring to it as Beloshim Rabbi. So why does it say Ushach Lambik the Achilat Pras? Ibisher son, if it's talking about you baked it again, Haisha Achlan, you're telling me, quote, you ate them? You should say, Sha'achlo, mi boile, right? Okay, fine. You know what? Maybe we're talking about over here. Hakomai Askinan, Biba Milechem Gadol. Talking about over here that you had a large piece. Again, Tosu says, this can't possibly be referring to Benachot. You have a large piece, you broke up only some of the piece, and you're left with the rest of it, and the rest of it provides the tzura
of lechem, even for the pieces that you're eating now, which are not, it's as if you had on your table a large challah. And there were some crumbs. You're telling me that those crumbs in the presence of the challah are not considered to be lechem because they don't have a tzura pot? They're the remnants of the challah, that's all. So over here, if you have a lechem gadol, so this is, how could you possibly have a lechem gadol? You're talking about the minchah. You have to do the ptita on the whole thing by definition. You're supposed to do komets from the minchah, but the whole thing could be is roy to go into your komets. Another reason not to accept Rashi's pshat, besides the im chometz, which doesn't make any sense since the mincha can't be chometz. In any event, if it's talking about bami lechem gadol, then says Rabbi Yosef, there I'm moda that even if you don't have a kezayit, it's still called lechem. Okay, so could you tell me what, I mean, you confused us really good now. My hobby, Allah, just tell me the bottom line. Om Rav Sheshes, the bottom line is, that I chavitza, afagav, the let be pirurin kezayit, mivarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. If it starts with bread, then even though you made a pudding out of it, you'd still say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Says Rava, well, that's true, but there's always the but. For who the ikalav turita dinahama. This is only if it still looks like bread. But if it doesn't look like bread, I mean, then I agreed, it's not a function of a kezayit. True, it's not a function of prusot kayamot. But I mean, it certainly gets to a point where it's unrecognizable. It's unrecognizable as bread. Well, how can you possibly say how much you like an aretz on it? And therefore, again, halakha lemaisa here would be extremely different sugya according to Rashi or according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, we have to say that if it was just bread and it lost its source of positive pudding, it wouldn't make the slightest difference. The only time we're introducing the idea of it still has to be recognizably bread is when it was boiled. But according to Tosis, the moment that you boil it, by definition, it doesn't have Tzuritza Dinahama. As a matter of fact, Tosis brings an interesting minhag of Rabbeinu David, who didn't have time to mention the morning because he only had 5 minutes before the shir. But he needed to eat after davening in order to give the shir because he always got a headache. So he couldn't think straight. So how does he eat without benching? He had a real problem. He came up with a simple solution. He boiled the bread. So now... but this could be ready before. He boiled it, and he says he boiled it the night before. And then he once you're malabing the bread, according to Tzitzis, it loses the tzuras of lechem, by definition. So now he ate his boiled bread. And that may... Yeah, all right. It's not the tastiest. He ate his... But God doesn't say what kind of stuff he put in there. I mean... It might have been French toast. Oh, we know. And in doing that, he didn't have to bench. So he didn't have the time. Ben Shalshim ran into the shear, and his head was mechuzak, as Tosfos says.
And on French toast, he doesn't have French toast.
If you hold that boiling removes the tzur of the lechem, and you dip your French toast now... that's how you make it, obviously. Some people don't.
Look,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about freedom toast. Where do you come
from? How is this freedom toast?
Okay.
Bread pudding.
That's the machlokas. You're going to stay here tomorrow. And then you'll head to the bathroom. Welcome home.
Thank you.